Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your eyes do not deceive you. It is not Monday. It's actually Wednesday if you check your calendars, but it's still the AEW Dynamite After Show here on Wrestling Inc. I'm Jack Farmer, and this is Corduroy Jimmy Corderas. How you doing, big fella?
I'm doing good, man. It's the first day of shoveling the driveway up here in Toronto, which was not good. But other than that, everything is fine.
You know what? We're a little shorthanded here at Wrestling Inc. today, but you know what? I think we're still going to get it done. We're just going to put in the time. We're going to do a multi-segment match, so to speak.
There you go. Let's do it.
We're going to do a lot of rest holds here this episode. Just kill some time.
Yeah.
Go to the outside, work the crowd a little bit. You know, just do some stuff.
That's what you call it out there. Grab a hold.
Yes. We're going to keep it going. But hey, thanks for letting me come on over. I was here to really sneak attack Issa. She snuck attacked me twice now on Raw. I wanted to get some revenge, but she hid. She ran away because she knows that the greatest guest wrestling star is this is AEW. Is Shaquille O'Neal, not Bad Bunny.
Right.
Again,
the ref shirt is going to have to break out one of these days again.
Well, let's, we always start these shows, and everyone in the chat, good to see you. We're going to do some call outs here in a little bit, but for now, I want to start with some news, and we're going to start with some news that is about Logan Paul, the guy whose name I was about to say. Would have been a better transition if I just made the Logan Paul joke and went into the Logan Paul news. But here we go. We got an update on Logan Paul's injury following Crown Jewel. Logan Paul's brother, Jake Paul, has revealed in an interview that Logan's injury was initially believed to be worse than it actually is, as well as seemingly revealing the diagnosis of the injury. Jake said he's doing better than expected, and I thought it was supposed to be ACL, but it just turned out to be MCL and meniscus, which is better. He's rehabbing it in LA and hoping for the best, man. Jake was present for Logan's injury at Crown Jewel, supporting his brother at ringside during Logan's match. So I am not a doctor. These all sound terrible, but from what I understand, MCL is better than ACL. Do you have any insight into this kind of stuff?
I wish I did. I just know that they're not good when you get injured. It's one of the unfortunate, parts of this industry where, you know, you run that risk of getting injured. And I'm going to take Jake Paul's assessment for what it is. He says that it's better than an ACL thing. If you say so, it still doesn't sound good. But the other part, too, is I know that there's a rumor out there that Logan Paul was pushing for a match at WrestleMania 39 in LA between him and John Cena. And I'm wondering if this injury puts that in jeopardy, if that was ever being discussed or a possibility. Because can you imagine with the other rumored match, Roman Reigns versus his cousin The Rock and Logan Paul versus John Cena headlining both nights, like one each night?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, it's such a crazy time we're in right now because there are the rumors of Stone Cold wanting to do some more matches. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having The Rock, potentially Roman Reigns, John Cena, The Rock, and Stone Cold is like the last four faces of professional wrestling all on the same show, which is just madness to me as a fan. I can't remember. I don't know if there's ever even been a real possibility of a time like that. You know, like when Hogan was on top, could you have had like Bruno Sammartino, Hogan, and all that and really made it work? I don't know.
No, I don't know either. And I don't know if that would mesh well, Bruno and Hogan, especially, you know what I mean? But this is, this could be, that could be the, you know, everybody talks about the proverbial passing of the torch. Can you imagine that torch being passed with those four?
You know, I just say have a four-way with Stone Cold, John Cena, The Rock, and Roman Reigns, and have them stack them and beat all of them at the same time.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! You set the place ablaze.
Yes, all the if Roman wins, we riot signs would be that would be fantastic. I would love it. Everyone else would probably hate that, but I'd be like,
no, That wouldn't be a passing of the torch. That would be a passing of the flamethrower.
Yes. I'm not predicting that's happening, but that would be a fun, little situation there. We talk about passing of the torches and things that could happen at WrestleMania. There's someone who has been hinting that may be eventually a WWE guy, and that is MJF talking about the bidding war of 2024. He clarified some of the issues with his contract. He said, I know the truth. I most certainly, the salt of the earth denied that it's the case that he's received more than a raise and had, in fact, re-signed long-term. He said, I know the truth. I most certainly haven't. I think that wrestling fans are kind of just doing that to kid themselves, so maybe they feel a little less heartbroken as things go on. MJF stressed that his destination in 2024, whether it be AEW, WWE, or even Hollywood, where he's now expanding into will come down to money. He did give AEW owner and CEO Tony Khan credit for one thing. What happens after the fact in 2024 is entirely up to AEW management if they are willing to shell out the proper amount of money. Now, I'll tell you this, bonus and brownie points from Tony Khan for paying me what he's paying me now with no extension. He did not have to do that. So basically reiterating, there is no extension to the contract. He did not resign. He is getting paid more money. And I'm happy. I'm a big believer. I always root when it comes to contracts. I root for the rest of the individual because Tony Khan's got $1 billion. WWE's got $1 billion. They're done. They're good. Their pockets are good. I want the wrestlers to get their pockets lined up. And Jimmy, I feel like I'm happy for him. He should wait and play the field. He's going to be the hottest free agent in pro wrestling.
I think he will be. And the fact that he's bringing it out in public is making people think about it too. And look, you talk about someone who is young and it could be the potential future of this industry, regardless of what company he's working for. This is the guy. He ticks all the right boxes going into this thing. So I kind of have a feeling there will be the proverbial bidding war for this guy when he does become a free agent. And whoever lands him.
Well, you know, they've been one. And by the way, as far as where I want him to go, I want him to go with who pays him the most. I think he's got the right idea, Jimmy. I've always been a believer. 9 times out of 10, just go with the people who pay you the most.
I agree with that. But at the same time, too, the potential to make more money let's say for example in WWE might be a potential to make more money there doing various other things with the company, speculating here, but at the same time we want to see at the time his contract comes up and he becomes a free agent, which company has the bigger platform as well for him to maximize his potential.
Right. Well, yeah, no, 100%. And that's because it won't just come down to what he's paid per year, because, and not to sound like a WWE homer, but WWE's got a massive merchandise arm that you can make a lot of money off of. And the fact that Nick Khan has ties to Hollywood, I don't think it's a shock that people like Bianca Belair suddenly have an agent and the opportunities come up for wrestlers. So that will be a factor in it as well. It won't just be, you won't be able to just compare apples to apples. This one says this number, this one says that number. So I agree with that. But at the end of the day, if one is going to get you more, go with the one that you think will get you more.
Hey, and longevity is also a factor, depending on how long you want to do it. Do you want to do it for 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be? Maximize your income potential with however long you think you can do it for.
And I'm not a I called it kind of guy, because I'm usually wrong when I try to call it. But I will say, and people who have listened to me talk, I've been saying for a long time now, about 2 years now, I think MJF is Hollywood bound. I don't know if it'll be 2024, but I just got that feeling. You look at some of those things, and we'll talk about it later because Moxie brought it up, him being a singer and doing all sorts of other kind of entertainment things. I've always felt he is a Hollywood destined person, and now he's in a movie. Now I got a feeling we're going to see him in Hollywood sooner than we all think.
I don't disagree.
So we'll see, though. If he does it, I will rub it in everyone's face that I called it. If he does not, I'll just pretend I never said it, like all the other things I get wrong, and I'll move along.
There you go.
Let's go ahead and get the show going. But before we do, I always like to thank everyone who is listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Or if you're watching the show on YouTube after the fact, make sure to hit like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you're watching us now, thanks for joining us in the chat, whether you be Jay Flame, Mr. X, Donald Lannis. Is that, am I saying that name right, Donald? I don't see you on Mondays. Justine, I got Dylan Matthews, the GIF King in the chat. We got Aaron and Trevor and Miriam and Bernie and all sorts of folks here. Trevor, a lot of folks I don't see on Monday. So good to see you guys, and good to meet you via video screen. And if you're not in the chat, guess what? I'm glad you're here, too. If you're just watching along, that's cool, too. And thank you, Peter and Sergio. Let's get the show on the road. Let's just dive right in. We're 11 minutes in, Jimmy. Let's just dive
Let's do it. We're live, pal.
We start with a tag team match, Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli. In Jericho's pursuit to beat former Ring of Honor champions, he takes on two at the same time tonight. It's a long one with a lot of back and forth, but it comes down to Jericho trying to use his bat, but Claudio stops him and makes Jericho tap in the sharp shooter. There's two things that surprised me here. I'm going to start with Jimmy. Did it surprise you? We didn't get any "can you trust your partner" stuff. Because they've got the four-way match coming up on where they're all in it. So there wasn't any kind of like throwing their partner under the bus, I should say.
A little bit of a surprise, because in those types of matches, you usually expect it with the "can they coexist" commentary as well. But at the same time, you had two clearly defined baby faces and two clearly defined heels. So it worked not doing that during the match. And I think it helped the match by not doing that, because, I'm sure a lot of people expected, hey, maybe that's what's going to happen, where some misdirection and Claudio and Danielson get into it, or Sammy, especially the heels, even though they're still part of the Jericho Appreciation Society, you know what I mean? And that sort of stuff. So, but I thought they had a very good match, told a good story. It made sense. Them going after the left eye of Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. See, I can't,
it's a tough one.
It is tough to forget.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get it right. Like, when they first switched it was hard to do it. And then I finally got, I got it a long time ago, but now it's
I hear you.
Tricky. Tricky.
I thought they had a good match. They started off the show hot. They got the crowd into it, and good on them. And the fact that Jericho tapped out to a sharpshooter, I don't know. Is that a giveaway that he retains at the pay-per-view.
That was actually my next thing. I said two things surprised me. The other one was I was kind of surprised. Claudio just got a clean win over Jericho, tapping him out. And I was wondering, that was going to be my question to you, is do you think that that sort of tipped their hand? Because as we know, that rule of thumb is if you look good the week before the big show, not a good sign for the big show.
Chances are.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it does make it interesting because because of it being a four-way, Jericho doesn't necessarily have to be the one to lose.
Right.
But at the same time, having the title on Jericho, when you talk about public persona and who is, and I hate to, and no disrespect to the other three men in the match, Jericho is the biggest star globally.
100%.
In that match. So, you know, if you want to elevate that ROH title, keep it on Jericho for a little while longer.
Yeah. And anyone who's arguing, there's a reason he was on Masked Singer, you know, like, at least I heard he was, I don't watch Masked Singer, but everyone said he was like a pink giraffe or something. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think he's been doing great there. The only thing is, what I actually really love this, and we'll kind of do some predictions along the way, just because the shows, this is coming up. What I love about this whole thing is, with it being a four-way, you really have the opportunity for both these teams to implode. Because if you're Bryan Danielson, I could see him taking advantage of Claudio to try to get a win. You know, I could see I could see Jericho hitting Claudio with a bat and then Danielson getting rid of Jericho and being like, I could still pin Claudio. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And then Claudio being upset about it. But also, of course, the heels, the other side, you could imagine Sammy Guevara going, you know, like Triple H once said, it's my time.
Yeah. But but then again, like we were talking about, not having that tension between the two teams tonight, between the partners. If we do see some tension between them on Saturday in this four-way match, then it makes it mean that much more. Because if we saw the tension tonight, then we'd be expecting it. Then now with Claudio and Brian kind of get into it, or Sammy and Jericho get into it, now you're going, oh.
Right. And what's beautiful about this too is you can create that tension and have a team implode without that actually being the end of the match. Like if Sammy Guevara tries to win the title from Jericho and tries to pin Jericho, even if he doesn't win, that seed is now planted that Sammy's trying to take advantage, or if Jericho tries to pin Sammy or whatever the case is. So it's a,
it could lead to future stories.
Yeah. It's a very, this is actually a very interesting, situation. And I know the Ring of Honor side of things in AEW gets a little flack, and some of it's very deserved, but I think this story is actually interesting the way it's being told. I do wish Daniel Garcia was involved a little bit, because it felt like he sort of got thrown out for some reason. Like he was the main part of it, and then suddenly he just disappeared. But you never know. You never know. There might be like injuries or booking. I don't know. There's a million things that may cause this change.
Exactly.
So we continue on. By the way, who do you think is going to win? We'll just do a prediction. Who do you think is going to win on Saturday?
Old school logic dictates to me that Chris Jericho retains in some underhanded form or fashion.
I think that's probably I feel like that's the safe bet, but I don't know. I get this feeling that Bryan Danielson needs a win. I feel like he needs something. He's taken a lot of L's lately, but we'll see. I'm not super confident about that. Like, it's not a confident bet. That's like
but like I said, if you're going to maximize the ROH brand, maximize it, you know, especially if there is a TV deal in the works, you got to think business as well too.
So that's very true. You're 100% right about that. We got a Darby Allin promo, and we get a black and white driving through the desert in a body bag, and then Jarrett shows up and says 24 years ago is the first time, the next time it's going to be the last time, Sting. This is just a really quick bit here. How do you feel about these Darby Allin promos?
I think they're interesting. They're different. And that's the cool thing about it. It's different. And seeing that I know it was black and white, but it looked like a pink Cadillac convertible, old school.
Right.
You know, it's like why is Sting driving the honky tonk man's car? Right. You know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, they're fun. they're a little different. They're out there and they fit with the characters.
It is funny how black and white you feel like. I still feel like I can tell what color it is. You're right. I don't know why, even though there's no real way I should. I feel like I just know. But I feel like with the Darby Allin stuff, there's parts of me that want to critique it as a wrestling person. Like, but you're not like, how do you like sell the match? Or like, you got to say some stuff. But then there's also this part of me, it's like, maybe it's just like TikTok to me, where like, I don't get it, but it's working and it's popular. So shut up and just enjoy it for what it is. You know what I mean?
No, I understand that completely, because like, you're like me, you can't like everything, but you could kind of maybe see why others would.
I mean, it looks cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is a cool thing. But I always think like, you didn't say anything about the guy, but then again, I go, but everyone likes it. So just quit asking questions.
He wasn't on tonight since you brought that example up. It's like with Orange Cassidy.
Right.
You know, I watch that and I go, you know, people are into it. They're digging it. And me personally, I'm like, there's nothing for me really, but hey, if the fans are digging it, good for you.
That was always my heel Becky Lynch. Like it never really stuck with me, but for some, like I'd see the crowd, like it's working though. So I'm not going to complain, because I'm the wrong one in this case. Did make me feel very old when Jeff Jarrett said 24 years ago, because I remember that. And I was like, oh my God, it's been that long. But let me ask you this, I guess, quick prediction. Who wins that tag team match? Jarrett, is it Jarrett and Lethal or Jarrett and Sanjay? Or
no, I think it's Lethal.
It'd probably be Lethal. Lethal seems to be doing most of the wrestling for that team. Jarrett and Lethal, or Darby and Sting?
Man, this is one where you can make a case for the guitar getting involved here and causing maybe the baby faces win via DQ, because Jarrett doesn't care. He wants to do damage with the guitar.
That's why you're good at this, is because I think a lot of people, when they pick a winner, they think of the last person standing, not the person that actually got the win. Because I think a lot of people think, oh yeah, well, Jarrett will hit him with a guitar and get the win, but they don't think, yeah, but he might get DQ'd in the process.
Right. Thinking, and his thinking could be, I don't care about the W or the L. All I want to do is damage to the Stinger. You know what I mean? Take him out.
I'm going to go with, I think I'm going to pick the bad guys here. I'm going to pick Jeff Jarrett, because I think they said that Sting is Darby's weakness. And I think something's going to happen where Sting does something to cost them the match, whether it be Darby takes the guitar shot himself and then gets pinned or something. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a thing there, but that might be me overbooking it in my head. So we move on to The Acclaimed, and we get a Waterboy parody. And before we get the music video with a rap, Swerve comes out, and after Billy Gunn attacks Swerve, he and Max Caster get ejected from ringside. Then we get Bowens versus Swerve. Last third of this match was really all Swerve and him damaging the arm of Bowens and getting the win here. There's a lot of things I want to talk about here. First off, how would you rate Max Caster's bars?
His bars?
His raps.
Man, they're good, and they're always topical. The Jay Leno line and all that. So he's right on top of things, and I'm wondering how quick it comes to him, because some guys are really good at that. Like, I go back to a John Cena. John Cena, just right off the top of his head, could just battle rap anybody, and it's incredible. So, and the crowd reaction to The Acclaimed when they came out, it was just phenomenal. These guys are hugely over as a team.
Yeah. It was something that I just kept thinking. Acclaimed are one of those teams that, like, they just found a way to will their act over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because they were, to be fair, like, everyone acts like, oh, they're so great, but they spent like a year and a half on Dark, you know, like losing to people. It wasn't like this like team that everyone saw coming. You know what I mean? It was like it was that classic, like, no, we are going to show you how good we are each and every week and make this work. And they did. And so it's really cool the way they were able to do this.
Yeah. My only question is, you see someone like a Max Caster and you say to yourself, this guy has potential to be a single superstar. Unfortunately, despite how good Anthony Bowens was in the match and how good he is, during the match, the crowd was very quiet.
I noticed, I was going to say, it seemed like they were more into, like, Swerve is very over, too. Yeah. It felt like, especially the Whose House, you know, Swerve's house.
Right.
I feel like, personally, I think Swerve could be one of their, a big name for them if they keep using him properly.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like Caster could be a very big, deal for them as well, because he's just found a way to make it work, and he's just one of those people that just knows how to, whatever it is, find a way to make things work, and that's always a good thing. Right. And I love this, as we go into the pay-per-view, as we go into Full Gear, we've got kind of a dual story here, where it sounds like it's going to be, is Bowen's arm going to cause problems for them in the match, or will the lack of teamwork between Swerve and Keith Lee be an issue? So this is a situation where I actually kind of like both teams have an issue that they're going to have to deal with going into this one.
I like that. And if you've ever had a situation, especially with the arm issue, he goes into the match with that arm problem, and that becomes a big story in the match. And let's say someone like a Keith Lee has got him in some kind of arm hold, like a Kimura or a key lock or something like that. And, you know, Max decides to throw in the towel and save his partner's arm. And, you know, and maybe that can cause tension between the team down the road somewhere. But at the same time, it's one way to get the titles off them without really having them pinned or submit. The partner was being, you know, looking out for the safety of his partner by throwing in the towel and saying, you know what, we could win the titles again later, but you only have two arms and you don't want to lose one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And just very, very cool stuff with these guys. What's your prediction? I personally have the Acclaimed retaining. I think the writing's on the wall that Swerve and Keith Lee aren't going to stay together.
But any
thoughts on that? You just agree?
No, I was thinking the same thing. It looks like it's perfectly setting up a split between Swerve and Lee. So them retaining, but maybe you can have the split happen after my suggestion of throwing in the towel, have them win the titles. And, you know, Keith Lee, you know, being, we won these titles because of me, and there's a little bit of tension there. And then either they have to I don't want to say relinquish the titles, but maybe Keith Lee costs them the titles down the road by saying, okay, I've had enough of this team, I'm going on my own.
I feel like we've had a tag team before where the two people actually hated each other, but they were a tag team, and so they had to work together. That could be a fun like, hey, maybe Swerve leaves Keith Lee high and dry and is like, take that, suck it, I'm leaving. Now you're going to get beat up. But somehow Keith Lee overcomes and actually wins. And now Swerve thought he was away from Keith Lee, but now he's actually stuck with him.
Or the other way around. It looks like Swerve is going to lose the match, and Keith Lee's like, and then he turns around and goes, and goes back in there and makes the save and ends up pulling it out for the team or something like that. Could be fun.
That could be very interesting. I feel like whoever it is, though, FTR is waiting in the wings. At least I hope so.
Yeah, they're awesome.
My personal tag team, just one of the best tag teams. I think I won't get into it. Tag team of the year for me, I think. But I know if someone said the Usos, I wouldn't argue too heavily either.
That's a good argument to have, because there's no right or wrong. It's just opinion based.
Yeah. It depends how you look at it. I don't know. But in any case, we get a promo package. We'll just kind of go through this part real quick. Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, Nyla basically reminding us Nyla has stolen the physical title and really gotten under the skin of Jade Cargill more than anybody else so far. Jimmy, I love that they're actually putting on Nyla's nameplate TBS champion just because she stole it. It's one of those stupid little things that it makes me giggle. Do you think Nyla Rose is going to be the one to beat Jade Cargill?
I don't think so. I think this is Jade Cargill has a special something that she needs a long title reign so that when someone does eventually alleviate that title from her, then it becomes a big deal. Nyla Rose, may have been the right person down the road, but right now I don't think it's the right time for it.
I agree with you. I do think Nyla Rose, in my opinion anyways, with the little time she's had, has kind of proven that she deserves more time. I think that she's very good at being like kind of a funny, interesting bully type bad guy. And I think that that's something that they could use more of in that division. But yeah, I agree. I think I've said before, AEW has what I call a Jade Cargill problem, where Cargill is such a star, I don't know who beats her. Like,
right.
she like outstar powers anyone. Like, I don't know who you can put in the ring with her where you go, oh yeah, they could beat her. You know what I mean? Like,
at this point, it feels that way. Somewhere down the line, it will happen.
It feels like if Brock Lesnar won the cruiserweight title, you'd be like, well, who's ever going to beat him for it? Like, I don't know.
Wow. Brock Lesnar is a cruiserweight.
Really slimmed down. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of jumping jacks.
Out there in Saskatchewan, yes. Yes.
Counted a lot of calories, got down. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't believe for a second all those guys were under 205, though. Some of those guys, they say 205, and they come out, they're just like,
I know.
Buddy Murphy, I don't know. You were a pretty big fella to be under 205.
Yeah, somebody's fudging that little dial on the bottom of the scale there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he did, but if he is, he's a very big looking 205. Mm-hmm. But in any case, speaking of big, we had a couple of big fellas in the ring in this next segment, and this has become another very interesting matchup. Samoa Joe comes out and he compares Tony Schiavone to Paul. Doesn't say which Paul, but then says he refuses to wait around and be a victim. Hobbs comes out and says, hold your horses. And then Wardlow comes out and attacks Joe. Then we get a locker room emptying break apart. You got to have one. It's dynamite. Wardlow cleans house and the Dark Order just get out of his way, letting him do the dive to the outside and take out everybody. How do you feel about this segment? I'll just let you take it away.
No, I like seeing Joe come out and being Samoa Joe, the old school Samoa Joe, because he is a legit badass. And this is an opportunity because I think they dropped the ball with Wardlow a little while ago. And don't get me wrong, they could have made Ward Joe a ridiculously dominant tag team, despite the name. but Wardlow, again, was one of those guys who was on the rise to become a homegrown talent that they could bank on. Mm-hmm. And they dropped the ball. Now it's an opportunity to pick up the ball and hopefully get it back on the other side of the net where it belongs.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think Wardlow is one of those guys that could be one of their, you know, they use the word pillars a lot, but I think he could be one of the faces of the company. And it felt like they were doing that with the whole MJF thing. It felt like they didn't, like they were like, this is a great story, but then they didn't think about what's next, you know? Right. And so they finished it like, oh,
yeah,
now what?
Makes it. Yeah. And a guy like Wardlow is a guy who doesn't need a title to be one of those pillars.
Right. Right.
You know, he just, right. like I said, he, like we said about MJF ticking boxes, he does too.
Yes.
It's just a matter of how you present him. That's all.
This is going to be, in my opinion, very high praise, but he has kind of a Goldberg-ish to him where he just comes out and you're like, I'm in. You don't need to cut promos. He can talk, but he doesn't need to. Like, his music can hit. He comes out. He can just beat the tar out of somebody. And I'm like, I'm all in. I get it. I like it.
Again, getting people invested in you, the person. And making people want to see you. And exactly like you said, he has that.
I think one of the things they kind of stuttered on with him is sometimes I think they like the idea of like overpowering thing. Like, I thought the idea of Samoa Joe and Wardlow looks cool, but I was like, but who's going to beat them? That's no fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see that. We're getting it now, but they were a team for a while. I was like, I want to see them fight each other. I don't want to see them as friends. Just like, right. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley as a tag team. Like, that's overpowered. I want to see them fight each other. You know, I want to see the two top guys go at it. And so I feel like there's a lot of times with guys like Wardlow where they're like, well, what if he fights this really small guy? Or what if he fights this guy that we know he's not going to, this other big guy that we know Wardlow's going to crush? Like, I want to see him fight like tough people. And so,
Exactly.
I mean, every now and again on a Monday, that's or on Monday, a Wednesday, it's cool to have him just crush people, but like, I'm glad he's getting some big, big folks in here. And Samoa Joe, one of my absolute favorites on the microphone. There are few people who are as entertaining as Samoa Joe, yet also as believable as Samoa Joe.
That's like, the right word.
Cause like The Rock, most entertaining person on the microphone ever, probably. But when he's like, I'm going to beat you up, you're like, this is fun. Huh? You're not like really threatened by him, where Samoa Joe, you're like, this is entertaining and he's going to kill me.
right. Exactly.
And something he did tonight that I thought was just incredible. I don't know if you know, like he got the crowd, like the crowd was chanting for him on the way out. He gets on the mic for a little bit and they were booing him. The fact that he was able to turn it around, I think just shows how good he is.
Absolutely. And that's what a good heel does, especially in a day and age, a generation now where people want to like a good heel.
Yeah,
they end up, like you said, cheering him a little bit. And Joe got, like, when he came out, people, yes, it's Samoa Joe. And then it was like, oh, I can't believe he said that. You boo, you know?
Yeah.
That's an art.
It really is. As a side note, my favorite Samoa Joe line ever was when he was on commentary, actually. It was a very small thing on Raw. Like, someone was messing with, I think, Byron, and Samoa Joe got in the way, and Seth Rollins goes, you don't want to do this, Joe. And Joe goes, oh, yes, Seth, I think I do. And I was like,
tremendous.
Anyways, and just to wrap it up, Powerhouse Hobbs, I think this is I love Powerhouse. He's another guy I think they could build up. And I think this is going to be one of those things. I don't think he's the guy to win it. But I think this will be a good chance for him to be in the ring with guys who are great. I think being in the ring with Samoa Joe is always going to make you a better person on the other end.
Yeah, I think the other two guys can help make Hobbs. And you know, when you make someone and then beat them, then that makes you look like you beat somebody. And this is an opportunity for whoever wins this match. The other two can get over without going over.
Yes, yes. And so I always think of Booker T back when he was going for, like in WCW days, when he was going through like TV title, US title, then world title. He would always, like, when he was the TV title kind of area, he would lose to US champion guys until eventually he started winning and became that. Then he would lose to world title guys for a little bit until he started winning and became that. And so that's what I'm hoping is sort of the process with a Powerhouse Hobbs here. Cool segment. I actually really dug it. And I like that this was a title that about a week ago, I wasn't that, like, I'm not really into the TNT title right now. But now going into it, I'm like, this is going to be a cool, which is kind of an AEW thing. You're kind of like building up to the pay-per-view and you're like to the final, like 2/3 of the way to the pay-per-view. And you're like, I don't know about this one. And then like the final third, you're like, oh, okay. They buttoned it up.
they did something good tonight throughout the show. Is the video, even the video packages helped build to the pay-per-view Saturday. And that's what you need. You, for lack of a better term, talking people into the building.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce Power Equipment at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, when these three big beef patties get in the ring, Jimmy, who do you think wins it? Who walks away with the TNT title?
This, like I said, Wardlow does not need to win the title. And because it is a three-way, there is an opportunity for him not to win the title and not be pinned at the same time. I think for now, I think Joe, because like you said, when he talks and when you see him, he is absolutely believable in his role. So he could pin a powerhouse Hobbs after maybe Wardlow hits him with how many power bombs, and Joe kind of crap cans him over the top rope and then steals the win, so to speak. But then still claims how much of a badass he is.
Right. Because he's one of those few guys that will say it, and you'll kind of be like, it is kind of a badass move what you did, but you're still kind of a cheapskate for throwing him out of the ring.
Right.
So that's great. So we had a couple of promos, backstage promos. They were separate, but I'm going to talk about them together just to make it easy. First, we had Britt Baker come out and say that, well, she didn't come out. She was backstage. She says that she may not have the background of Saraya, but she kept wrestling going in an empty Daily's place while wrestling moved on from Saraya. And if Saraya thinks she's above that, she can get out of here. Saraya says she wants to face the best, and Britt's the best. Jimmy, if this was a promo battle, who won?
Well, I think Britt was awesome here in a different sense, because at first it sounded like she was being a babyface, showing the respect and showing, you know, like giving Saraya her props. But then all of a sudden it was that, okay, now I'm going to tell you what it is. You know, you're not in my league. I've been here 3 years. I built this company, the company basically built on her back, the women's division and stuff like that. So it almost started off like a babyface thing, but then she turned it right around. And again, that was really well done. I enjoyed it.
I thought that, I think Britt's promo was fantastic. I was absolutely blown away by it. I was kind of hoping Saraya would have brought a little bit more heat in her promo. It felt a little bit like she was like, hey, we're having the match. And I kind of want a little bit more like fire from her. I don't know if there's a reason for that, but as far as why she didn't really, I guess, bring as much of a exclamation point with her promo, but
The only thing I could think of is she's so excited to get back in the ring that's just got her happy, and it to her right now, it doesn't matter what Britt says. I'll show you when I get in the ring, and she's just overly excited about being cleared to go.
Is there a with Saraya, this is her first time back in the ring in a long, long time. Do you think it's good they haven't shown her do too much physical stuff yet? Or would you have liked to have seen more to sell us that she can still like wrestle and still go? And for people who's going to compare, like, what about CM Punk? My reason for not ever asking that about a CM Punk is CM Punk was wrestling, stopped, and then didn't come back till he was wrestling again, where Saraya was a GM and a manager and doing other things on air as a non-wrestler. So should she have done something, you think, to kind of remind us that she's still a wrestler, if that makes sense?
Well, a little physicality, nothing too spectacular, not having a match or a tune-up match before this, because, you know, it makes it feel that much more special that her first match is against such a big star like Britt Baker.
Right.
You know, DMD. Oh, my goodness. That's a tough test for your first match back, especially after, you know, ring rust is a real thing. And you can go back into the ring and into the gym and you can, you know, train and train and train, but until you get out there in front of a crowd and do an actual match, it's just not the same. Right. So it's going to be interesting to see how she handles herself on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it'll be I think they'll do a good job. I don't know if it'll be like the most high paced, fast paced, crazy match, but
doesn't have to be.
Right. I think they're both smart enough that they'll be able to make us care without, as you like to say, the 450 Burningham or Phoenix splash.
Close enough.
Something like that. I think it'll still be a fun one. Who do you mm-hmm. think wins, though?
In her comeback match, you almost think like Saraya has to win. But can you imagine the heat that Britt can generate if she does something to injure Saraya? Or alleged, right. or make it look like she injured her.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Do something. Obviously, in a safe way, but to us, the fans,
right.
make us all go. But you know, you see Twitter light up. How dare they win? Of course, the wrestlers.
But then again, you can have Saraya win and let Britt get her heat back afterwards.
Right.
Which is the more likely scenario.
I do think you got to have Saraya win, because if she loses, it's right. going to be a little bit like, oh,
yeah,
okay, well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah. It's like a hole in the parachute.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, as my friend has a saying, you don't need a parachute. You don't need a parachute to skydive. You just need a parachute to skydive twice.
Ah, gotcha.
So we get a... I don't remember if they actually said this was for the titles, but Death Triangle versus Top Flight and AR Fox. Mm-hmm. Very exciting high flying matchup. Ends with Pac hitting the Black Arrow and the champs retain. Mm-hmm. But the story here is after the match, Pac implies that the Elite will return at Full Gear looking to win those trios titles. And Pac says, bring the heat. But then we get a video package that makes it official. The Elite versus the Death Triangle for the Trios Championship. Jimmy, this was obviously heavily teased, mm-hmm. but how do you feel about them making it official, and how do you feel about them making it official this way?
I wasn't a fan of that. I don't mind this being the match at the pay-per-view, but have them come out and get that initial pop. You know, and, you know, people could run around and go, oh, see, I knew it. I knew it was them. You know, it was so obvious it was going to be them. That's not the point. The point is the first time you want to see their faces is their entrance at the pay-per-view. You don't want to see them in a video graphic.
Yes.
For the match. I didn't like it. Let's put it that way.
I agree with you. I love the match. I love that they're coming back at the pay-per-view. Watching it felt a little bit like Christmas, and you get the present and the box is shaped exactly like that thing you want, but you don't know if it's that thing you want for sure, even though it looks exactly like that thing you want. But then someone's saying, oh, by the way, it's that thing you want, but you can't open it till Christmas. Like, right. Well, that takes all the fun out of it. I want to like...
It's like living here in Canada. You're getting a hockey stick for Christmas, so you see this thing.
Yes.
In Christmas wrapping paper. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like you know what it is, but I don't want you to tell me what it is. Right. I still want that, like,
open,
what if? I want to know.
The package surprise, yes.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I love the whole thing, but it's I do wish they just kept it a secret. Even if it was like they showed the graphic with a big question mark. Or something like that.
Yeah.
In any case, that'll probably be fun. I do want to talk quickly, though, about Darius Martin's back. So that's always great when someone who's been hurt comes back. I thought he did great. And I want to talk about AR Fox because AR Fox is someone I've seen a couple of times. I'm not going to pretend I have a deep-rooted knowledge of indie wrestling, but I knew who he was, and I've seen him a couple of times. I think he was on Lucha Underground is where I've seen him. So I knew he was good, but I feel like he really did a good job of, as you like to say, getting over without going over with this crowd.
No, absolutely. And again, it takes two to tango. In this case, it took all six of them to tango.
Six.
Yes. So, you know, with the help of the others on the other side, they AR Fox looked like a big deal. And the other thing I liked about that, to get away from the AR Fox thing for a second, you know, we knew what this was going to be.
Yes.
This, you know, it was going to be high spots and stuff like that, but it wasn't just like completely high spots through the whole thing. They picked their spots to do their high spots. And I like that, where it wasn't just a complete chaos. Now back to AR Fox. He is a good talent. It's his first time on national television, I think.
They said it was his first time on Dynamite.
On the main show. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he was on Lucha Underground. I don't know if we count that as, I don't know what we count that as.
Right.
And I don't know if he's had like any, like, you know, in WWE for one match or something like that. But
he's a very good talent, and they would be wise to utilize him and utilize his full potential, because he can go. But at the same time, they are a pretty loaded roster, and they haven't got a whole lot of TV time.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think
that's a challenge. Yeah,
I think this is totally random, but I every now and again, when I'm like doing emails, answering emails and stuff, I like to throw on like a random old wrestling show, and I put on a random episode of Nitro, right? I think it's from like 98. I don't know. And something I noticed about them is they had a lot of matches with guys who you knew weren't necessarily stars, but they were always at least equal level. So you would still have a little bit of that who's going to win, even though you'd have Psicosis versus Juventud Guerrera. None of them are going to be world champion, but I don't know which one's going to win that match. They're still pretty whatever. And so I feel like if you used AR Fox in a couple of those kind of matches, so it's still fun, but he could win, he could not win. And then maybe have him, you know, lose to a Wardlow or something. That's a good way to keep him cycled in. Very easy for me to say on a podcast when I'm not actually making the show.
But still, mid-carder versus mid-carder, you know, like you said, when they're relatively close in hierarchy.
Yes.
It does. When it leaves you guessing, that's a good thing, too. But sometimes, you know, you need those dominant wins. And anyways.
Yeah. I will say Death Triangle, their entrance is just cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're not being too over the top. Like, there's not like crazy. I don't think there's crazy like pyro. Does it have pyro? I can't remember if they have pyro, but just like the one spotlight and then the other spotlight and then the other spotlight and the music and the way Penta with the cool entrance gas. Like, I was watching, like, this is like a comic book. I love this.
It was good.
So I think, who do you think the Elite wins this match?
I would, you know what? I almost feel like for some reason that that Death Triangle retains.
You know, I think so too. Some
form or fashion, whether it's you know, somebody I don't want to say turns on the other one, but somehow, you know, there's a disagreement on the, I guess they're baby faces, the Elite.
They're gonna get cheered when they come back.
Yeah, of course.
So even if they're jerks, they're gonna get cheered.
Yeah.
So this is against the rules, but I will say we're getting some chats. Trevor says they have fire, not pyro, and Phil says they have flames most weeks. So that's why I was trying to remember. I was like, I feel like there's pyro, but I don't remember the pyro. But that's what it is. It's little flames.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for clearing that up. You know, for me, it's a good reminder for me. But, you know, like I've said before, over the years, too many ref bumps.
Right. Speaking of fire, we get a fire promo from Ricky Starks and says he wants to start his match with Lance Archer in the back. I have a feeling Ricky Starks wins this one. Any thoughts on Ricky Starks in the promo? I feel like Ricky Starks is another guy face of the company in a few years. If I'm calling the shots.
Well, maybe he has that potential, but at the same time, he has to be booked right, and you have to allow him the time to develop into that. You know what I mean? And like I said before, there's a lot of faces on this roster that have the potential to be a face for the company that could generate some revenue for them and themselves.
Yes.
And Ricky is one of them. It's just a matter of whether they utilize that talent or not. And I know they like Lance Archer, and that's going to be a tough task to get one over on him anyways.
Yeah, I like Lance Archer. To me, is kind of like the Kane of AEW, I always say, where he's a big, tough monster that's always like a tough draw up at the top. But I always feel like he's that guy that like you get through to get to the next level, which is a good spot to be. I mean, Kane's had a great career, great spot to be. Ethan Page versus Bandido, a fast-paced match that made both dudes look good. Page gets the win and moves on to the finals of the Eliminator Tournament. I feel like I've said this a few times today, but Bandido getting over without going over.
Absolutely. And for me, Ethan Page is a guy who's grossly underrated, I think, for a lot of people. For me, he is anyways. Yeah. I think he doesn't get enough credit. And there's a guy, you talk about another guy who could be a future pillar for this company. There's a guy. And it's not just because he's a fellow Canadian.
I was about to say.
there may be a little bias there, but I see the potential in him. There is a lot of potential in Ethan Page, and he can talk, he can go in the ring, and he's, again, we talked about it before, he's one of those guys that doesn't have to do a twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splash.
But he can if you need him to.
Probably.
I mean, he did, maybe not that exact move, but I mean, like that, look, he was hitting he calls the ego's edge off the turnbuckle, but then got reversed into the... I call it a Frankensteiner, but you know, like that's he can still do those kind of cool things when it comes time to it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Ethan Page, I actually think Ethan Page is going to win the whole tournament.
I do too.
And this is just me personal fantasy book. And again, my fantasy book is terrible, but I want to see an Adam Page Bandido tag team. I want to see them come out. You know, like Bandido with the thing on his face, like the Bandit and the Hangman. Come on, they look cool together. I want to see it. I want to see them both come out on horses.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is why I'm not a booker.
There you go. I do want to see Ethan Page win this tournament and then go potentially. Can you imagine him? I'm not foreshadowing. I'm just saying. Let's say MJF was the one to come out ahead in the match against Mox. Can you imagine an Ethan Page versus MJF on the stick?
Yes.
That'd be fantastic. Unreal.
Yes. And we'll talk about that in a second because that is coming up. But I do agree 100% on that. Quick promo here. Again, Luchasaurus versus Jungle Boy, a hype video. Mm-hmm. Just a simple reminder of what's going on. Any predictions on that match?
Well, it's a cage match. So obviously Luchasaurus doesn't need to be pinned in this.
Right.
To lose. So... I think this is a perfect opportunity for the babyface to make a triumphant return. And Jungle Boy, it gets him over. Luchasaurus can still look like a badass. Maybe Christian accidentally costs him the match. Maybe, let's say they're heading for the door and Christian, you know, swings the door and it ends up hitting Luchasaurus instead of, or whatever, something.
Right.
But Jungle Boy, I think, does he need the win? I don't know if it's necessarily needs it, but he could use it.
I kind of think he needs it. I feel like if he loses, he's going to look kind of like, because he's gotten kind of punked out every time he's messed with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. But I feel like he needs a pretty big statement win. But I don't know. It's also a thing I could see him losing and then that changing him to, you know, Jack Perry instead of Jungle Boy and him doing kind of like, I need to change and, you know, join the factory.
Has to lose the boy moniker.
Yes. Which I think we all know is coming eventually, but we get a promo, Akiyama and Takeshita versus Kingston and Ortiz. Do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, it feels like one of those things that like it'll be fun, but I don't know if it's worth writing home about.
Right, exactly. It's going to be a fun match for the hardcores. Let's put it that way. It'll hit the right notes with a core audience, but you know.
Yeah, I agree. Anna Jay Appreciation Society, because she has AS at the end of her name. And I guess that's how you technically say it, right? Anna Jay Appreciation Society versus Toni Storm. Pretty straightforward here. Champ gets the win in a title match before Saturday. Post-match, Jamie Hayter comes to the ring and we get the face down, stare off. I feel like this is pretty straightforward. Any takeaways and what are your predictions?
No, I think Toni Storm retains on the weekend, but this match was a good match from the ladies. They put on a good match, but at the same time, it just the positioning of the women's match every week on Dynamite is right before the main event segment. And it just feels like, okay, now it's time we got to put the women out there. And it's not like, you know, that's how it feels to me. It's like, okay, it's 9:30, time for the women before the main event.
I've already acknowledged that I wouldn't be a very good booker. And so this may not be the thing, but I feel like what I would like to see AEW do is, it'll probably be tough because it's kind of a cold start for the women's division. Like, cause they don't get a lot of time, but I think you just got to start putting them out there and you may not get the crowd reactions you love. It may take some ratings bumps or dips for a little bit because you're still trying to get a lot of people over and get a lot of stories across. But I think if they just like really like dig their heels in and promote that division, it'll get over and it'll, cause they have talented people in that division. You just got to like, I guess, get it going. It's like, like push starting the car. You got to get pushed and get it going. And once it's going, you'll be fine. It's just, I think they just need to really invest into it for a second, you know?
No, I'm nothing more to say here. I agree.
I do think, I think Hayter wins. And I think she should win because I feel like along with the Acclaimed and along with MJF and along with other people, I think AEW fans right now are ready to see the AEW folks holding a lot of titles. And I know Jamie Hayter's had career before AEW, but she doesn't feel like someone from another company, so to speak. And I feel like I think the crowd wants her to be the champion.
I get that. I just want to, whatever happens, I just hope that interim champion moniker goes away.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a, is there like a, do we know a return date for Thunder Rosa? I don't know, whatever the deal is. If she's coming back soon, then I say, cool, let's just like ride it out till she's back. But if she's going to be out for like another year, I say, just take the interim off and
when she's
back, ask for a you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But we get to the end here. We get to Jon Moxley versus MJF. Moxley comes out and says he's the best wrestler in the world. And says MJF is a good singer, says he's only won a single match, had an embarrassing Brian Pillman thing, and then had the worst ending to a ladder match ever. Then the firm comes out, attacks Moxley, but MJF comes out, clears out the firm, then makes a CM Punk reference, the whole I see you laying there and as uncomfortably as possible or something along those lines. Then says he doesn't want excuses and wants to be the best in the world. Another CM Punk reference there. Couple questions here and you can kind of answer them all together. One, what are your thoughts on promos being the main event? And did this, if you weren't ready to buy a ticket for this match, did this do it for you?
I don't mind promo segments ending it, especially going into a pay-per-view on a go-home show. And it helped elevate my excitement for the main event match, which this should be the main event. It better be the main event. You know, it's the AEW championship on the line here. And, you know,
Jungle Boy Luchasaurus is main event.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's in a cage. But, you know, as we've said before, talking people into the building, talking people into seats, talking people into spending money to buy a pay-per-view. That's exactly what they did here. Jon Moxley was great on the mic, but MJF just was on another level altogether. And that tease where it's kind of like, is MJF going in a little bit of a different direction and stuff like that? Is he kind of turning babyface or is it kind of like he's not changing, but still at the same time, you know, it's one of those deals where he's going to get cheered by the audience and face not change himself, but change the opponents he faces, so to speak. You know,
right.
That sort of thing. And but the one line that Mox got me with saying that MJF is just a kid playing wrestler.
Yes.
I thought, oh, that's going to set it off. And it did. I thought it was a great segment to get people excited for the match on Saturday. And I love the part too. Is it Sunday or Saturday?
You know, yes. Well, and that's, you know, what's funny is like, so that was a great bit there, but that is one of the things that needs to be addressed about how good MJF is. Is sometimes it's not just the fact that he says zingers and whatnot, but he never stutters. He never misses a line. He never pauses. Like he just, it is like a flawless delivery every time he's on the mic. He never has to like pause and like remember. So it's just boom, 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 boom. And they're long promo. It's not like he nails a 1 minute promo. Like it's because, you know, you've been backstage and you've seen like the like pre-recorded ones even, and like they take four or five takes sometimes. And it's like, but he knocks out of the park every single time. It's incredible. And to say that against Jon Moxley is saying something too, because John Moxley's pretty good on that microphone himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he's right. He's said a few things in front of a few crowds in his day. So I thought this was good. I thought this was interesting. There's definitely mm-hmm. a where will alliances be after it's over? Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, obviously we saw Ethan Page come out. We saw The Firm. What's that going to be about? What's going on with Regal? There's a lot of weirdness going on here.
Yes.
But interesting weirdness.
Yes. And I know we are not talking predictions just yet, but I did mention something last week with Justin and Issa, that what if this match comes down to where William Regal shows his true colors and ends up helping MJF?
I would like to see, I think, or what if the Firm helps Moxley? Or what if there's like a Ooh. Double turn? Or what? Yeah. I don't know. There's a million things. I don't know.
I know. I love that there are questions like that, and you can make a case for either man, you know, coming out of this with the championship, and that is good.
And it's, yeah, because sometimes in all wrestling companies do this. Sometimes there's a lot of questions, but they're like not good questions. Like, mm-hmm. why is this person doing this, mm-hmm. or why is this happening? Where this is more like, where is this going? Which is good stuff. And I think it's really good for AEW right now, because AEW needs I feel like AEW needs a win here as a company. I feel like they need a good show here after all the shenanigans that have happened and all the stuff that's gone down. I feel like AEW really needs a show that gets everyone talking for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Right. You know what I mean? Like stick to your guns.
Yeah, stick the landing in this one.
Yes, I think that's
that's what happens here. Now, we talked a little bit about Ethan Page. We alluded to it before, but just kind of going in terms of predictions, I do think Ethan Page is going to win the tournament. He'll be my mm-hmm. prediction. And I do think MJF is going to win, because mm-hmm. I do think, as you said, MJF and Ethan Page is going to be a very fun rivalry. Ooh. But also what I love about it is it's a great rivalry that MJF can establish himself as a champion with without mm-hmm. having to take someone who is a sure fight. Like you don't want to have Kenny Omega come back and face MJF, because you want Kenny Omega to get some wins for a while, or like mm-hmm. you know, one of those other big, like Adam Page needs to get some wins again, or if a mm-hmm. returning Adam Cole, like he needs to get some wins or whatever. Ethan Page can have that, make it a great match, mm-hmm. lose, and be just fine. No, and MJF can still look great.
No, absolutely. You're not wrong there in the least. And again, I can't tout Ethan Page's mic skills enough, because as we've been saying all night long, talking people into the seats, these two guys would be able to talk people into anything.
yeah.
They're both that good, and on the stick, and it just goes to show you. I know people talk about the in-ring product, and yes, you should be good in the ring as well. But you know, you have to be a good overall character where people get invested in the person. And both these guys can get the fans to either like them, hate them, whatever the case may be. And that rivalry could be verbal gold.
Yes. And like I said, that's a rivalry that you can know the outcome, and that's fine. You'll still be totally entertained by it. And then that's when MJF can start taking on the bigger names, like that are a little bit more feisty contenders for the title. And he'll have a win under his belt. And if he loses it, it won't feel like it was too short or whatever the case is. Though I do feel like MJF's probably going to be champion for a while. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, coming into this, this show, so it's funny, we talk about WWE and how they've changed over the past couple months. And I feel like AEW has kind of changed the past couple months as well, or at least for a while. I felt like they were having some issues. I know people have mm-hmm. different opinions of what kind of wrestling they like, but I think even as an AEW fan, AEW is kind of having some issues for a little bit. Even the sideshow aside, just the shows felt like they weren't, like something was off. It feels like now they're sort of like getting back into a little bit of a rhythm. Maybe it's because the pay-per-views this weekend, and they have a goal line. So I think this has been good for them. And I do want to say, we chatted about it a little bit offline before we started. very interesting comparing notes of doing this show for Raw and doing it for AEW, where Raw mm-hmm. has things intermittent throughout the show. Mm-hmm. Like you'll see Damage Control throughout the show. Mm-hmm. But on AEW, it's like Wardlow comes out, Wardlow goes to the back, and then Wardlow goes home. You're never seeing Wardlow again. He's done. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with, you know, Moxley only comes out once. You know, Luchasaurus is not going to do a promo backstage if he's in the ring. And so, but in WWE, it's very different. You'll see those things throughout the show.
And one of the critiques I have for AEW a lot of the times is them trying to cram 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10 pound bag. Mm-hmm. And they try to do too much and a lot of repetition throughout the show. Like after the match, there's always a schmoz going on or too many matches with ref distractions, which makes none of them mean anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that sort of stuff, because the more you see it, then it's like, so they've been toning things down a little bit, but at the same time, a little more TV time. You know what? Instead of Rampage being on Friday nights for an hour, it's too bad that they couldn't move them to the old World Championship Wrestling time slot on TBS, 6:05 on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a cool move to have them there.
I have a feeling they wish Rampage was on at a different time, but I have also a feeling, I always forget, is it TBS or I always forget which one. It's TBS.
TNT
Rampage. I have a feeling TNT is like, sorry, guys. We got Big Bang Theory.
And they could benefit from 2 hours as opposed to one, too. It's just there's just a lot of talent and just not enough time.
Yeah, absolutely. But overall, fun show, fun being on. I thought this was a good one to get to be on. I was happy to do it. I am excited to see Full Gear. I think hopefully they keep it under 12 and a half hours, but we'll see. I'm not crossing my fingers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on this episode?
No, I thought it was a good episode, a good go home episode to help promote the pay-per-view that's coming up this Saturday. And one of the things I think they did well tonight was the promo videos to lead up to certain matches were very, very well done as well. And that's usually one of my critiques from AEW is they don't, their video packages are very, mm-hmm. Tonight I thought they were well done in getting you interested in the matches that they were promoting.
Yes. And to your point about making sure people have TV time, I always feel like that's such a good way to just remind us who people are and like, mm-hmm. I'd love for them to do that more often with like if Death Triangle's not on, just show us a little like this is what happened. And so I go, Death Triangle, they're top of mind. So when they come out in 2 weeks, I'm still like, oh yeah, Death Triangle. It's not like, where's Death Triangle been? Who are these guys? You know?
Right.
Again, easy for me to say from a podcast chair and not when I'm looking at the formatting sheet.
Right.
But that does it for us. Thank you. Jimmy, thanks for that. Let me hang out with you on a Wednesday.
Pleasure. Pleasure always, man.
And thank you to everyone who joined us. Yes. Whether you are in the, obviously if you're on YouTube, like, comment, share, subscribe. If you are on Spotify or Apple, like, comment, share, subscribe there. Do you like Spotify? I can't remember. You can leave us a nice comment on Apple Podcasts, though. Why don't you guys leave us a nice comment on Apple Podcasts? It's the least you could do. Mm-hmm. But thank you to everyone in the chat. Dylan, Ricky, Trevor, Justine, Bernie, Donald, Blue Chew, Jakey Bakey. I saw apparently Dwayne Johnson tunes in, by the way, in the chat.
I know that name.
Thank you, guys. Jimmy, where can the world find you online and all the stuff you're working on?
You can find me here on Mondays and Wednesday nights. On Mondays with Triple J, and on Wednesdays doing the Dynamite thing with usually Justin and Issa. And of course, on all my social media platforms, you can catch me daily from Monday to Friday doing my ref and rants, where I do my little critiques and have a little fun with it while I'm sipping my Java. And Enjoy wrestling because it's a fun time to be a wrestling fan.
It absolutely is. And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Usually they keep me caged in on the Monday show, but they let me come out for the Wednesday show today. I think I'm going to be on next Wednesday too. I think one of you guys is taking the week off next week. So I think I'll be on Wednesday also next week, but make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. and check out the Monday Night Raw after show every Monday, the NXT after show every Tuesday, the show Wednesday after AEW, you already know how to do that. And the Friday show after SmackDown and Rampage. I know we're doing an after Survivor Series show. I don't know if we're doing a full gear one. I think there might be some staffing issues, but we'll find out about that. I'll let Twitter tell you that one. Follow at Wrestling Inc. That does it for us, folks. We will see you guys next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.